Really good. Thank you. It's awesome. Anyway, we've been going through our series every Sunday about who am I and why am I here. And I want to show you that the text there was Ephesians chapter 15, verse 23. Well, the reason I'm trying to point that out is because sometimes when you prepare something and you start working on something, on one thing, and then the Lord sometimes redirects you and come up with totally different things. So if you're going to read that text, it's nothing to do with a sermon today. but it's a wonderful prayer. It is a wonderful prayer about what we ought to be aware of, what God has given us in our life. Well, I guess there's no best way of introducing our topic or this morning. And I'll just come out and simply say that we are created and designed to pray to God. Let me say that again. We are created and designed to pray to God. And I don't know what something about us, we laugh about this with our children, is because we tend to want to live life on our own, in our own terms, and we want to run our own life, sometimes we get frustrated with our kids because that's what they want to do, and sometimes you see them going in a destructive pattern, and you just wish that you could knock some sense into their head and say, don't you see this? But at the same time, it's kind of really reminiscent of what we are as people of God. I think I'm not trying to put God in where, in my level, but I think there's a sense that he feels the same way about us because we try to live our life our own way in our own terms. And we forget to pray to God. So prayer is a very integral part of our life because as we look at ourselves, not unless you haven't noticed yet, we are imperfect people. Anyone here would like to argue with me with that point? We are insufficient. We are riddled with lack, and we are inconsistent at best. And of course, we are weak. And for that reason, we need to depend upon something greater than ourselves, and that is God. And I think with that premise, we indeed can conclude that we are created by God and designed by God to pray to Him. When I was I served about 3.5 years in the U.S. Army. Hua. Okay, all right. Maybe some of you are Navy or whatever, but I know some of you are Marines, Air Force. But I served 3.5 years, and it was an interesting thing because during peacetime, all you do is you do like little kids. It's just with expensive toys. You go run around in the mud, crawl and shoot and things like that. And so, but those exercises are designed to really be prepared in the battle that may happen. But one thing that I've learned when I was in the military for about 3.5 years is that there are three things that's really important while you are in the battlefield. One is that you need to have sufficient ammunition. You don't go there and without ammunition. Second is that you have a functional weapon. As a matter of fact, if one thing that you do when you are in the military, you clean that thing every day. You're not doing anything. You break that weapon and clean it because you need to have a functional weapon. And then third, you need to have sufficient nutrition, food. I'll tell you, in the military, if you've been in the military, it tastes good. It tastes terrible. But you have to have those if you are going to accomplish your mission and if you're going to accomplish the task that you have to support and defend your mission. But there's another equipment that I think ranks as important, or I would even say the most important equipment, and I think Colonel Moreira would agree with me with this, that the most important equipment of soldiers in the field is their radio. See, the radio, while being on the field, is the only way they can communicate to headquarters or to their leaders. It is a way for them to receive clarification of their mission. It is a way for them to receive orders. It is a way for them to receive any redirection. But it is also crucially important that that radio is functional, because when you are in the midst of fierce of battle, then you have a way to communicate to your superiors that they need to provide you with cover, and they need to provide you with support and reinforcement. And that's what prayer is like in the life of a believer. Life is a battlefield. I don't know, I'm not really into songs, but isn't that like a title of a song? Oh, love is a battlefield. Okay, I'm sorry. But life is a battlefield. Whether you like it or not, whether you think you're ready for battle, you are engaged in a battle. John 10:10 says this:
"The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
That very verse there simply shows that you are engaged in it. Whether you like it or not, the enemy is trying to do something to kill and destroy your life. So whether you're aware of that or not, that is what he is doing. The dilemma is simply this: we are not strong. I mean, we like to see our muscles bulge up, but let me tell you, it's not strong enough. I mean, we like to let our chest puff up and say, "I could lift 325 pounds. It's not enough, folks. Because the fact is, we are weak. And if we look at the battle of life, we are ideal target, a perfect prey for the devil. And on our own, we do not stand a chance. We don't stand a chance. But as important as prayer is, so many times in a lot of the Christian life, it is the first thing that we cease to do. And maybe perhaps, to be fair, the reason why we don't pray enough, it is because maybe perhaps of some of our experiences. And our experiences have taught us that it's no use to really. One of our visits here in the community, a man opened his door, very nice to us, and I invited him to come to our church, and he said, well, I used to come to church. I said, "So what happened, sir?" I said, "Well, I prayed to God, and I prayed that my mom would be healed, and she never got better. So I made a conclusion that, you know, if God's going to do what he wants to do anyway, so what's the use of praying? And what's the use of even going to church?" You know, when I was a young pastor, in my 20s, I had the opportunity of having this woman part of my member, of my church. She came to me and says, and her youngest son died. He was murdered. And so he came to me and says, "Pastor, I just don't understand this." "So what do you not understand?" He says, I've been praying for my young boy because I know he's going to be the pastor in my family. I know that he's going to really grow up in ways that he's going to influence his friends and his community." He said, "His older brother is a knucklehead. But yet I don't understand that I bathe this young boy in prayer and yet he was murdered. Why? Why?" And maybe it's not presumptuous to me that a lot of people that are sitting here have prayed prayers that remain unanswered, and maybe perhaps have come to a point of questioning the validity of prayer. And I think I'll be a hypocrite to stand here in front of you that those thoughts, if those thoughts hasn't come through my mind. If God will do what he wants to do anyway, what is the use of praying? He's simply saying what all of us has been thinking. If God is all-powerful, if God is all-knowing, if God loves me and cares enough for me, Why do I need to even pray? Why do I need to even pray? I think before we answer that question this morning, allow me to lay some biblical assumptions, foundation about who God is. And we're going to go through here real quick. The first biblical assumption I would like that I think we all could agree is simply this, that God knows all things. In other words, nothing that happens in our life is a surprise to God. He knows everything that's taking place in our life. He knows exactly that you're going through some tough time. As a matter of fact, before it even happened, he already knew what was going on. God is never surprised about anything. The second assumption that I'd like to share is simply that God has committed himself to provide for his people. And we have numerous scripture passages that allude to that. As a matter of fact, as we look and scour over the Bible, we will see that God not only wants to provide for us, but he intends to provide for us, and he will provide for the needs of his children. Look at some of these scripture passages. Philippians 4:19 says this,
"And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus."
He will provide, meet all our needs according to his riches. It is simply a New Testament expression of what Psalms 23:1 says, that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. We are reminded once again in Jeremiah 31:25 says this,
"I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint."
And satisfy the faint. And I think all of us could attest to the fact of how God has met our needs. You know, I have a gentleman this morning. He sits there in the back. His wife just passed away, and passed away several months ago, and he comes faithfully every single morning. And he was walking out, and his voice simply said, "You know, I am 78, I think 79 years old." And he says, "And I've gone through some quite a lot of things. But let me tell you, God has been good to me." God is committed to providing for our needs. As a matter of fact, one of the names of God is Jehovah Jireh. He provides. He provides. Not only that, but also God has invited us to bring our needs to him. Look at Matthew 7, verse 7 to 8. Here's what it says.
"Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock at the door and we will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open."
So why do we ask? Why do we seek? Why do we knock? And the answer is right there. It is because God wants to provide for us. Psalms 81 verse 10. I love the picture here. It says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt." It says, "Open wide your mouth and I will fill it." I mean, I don't know about you, but I grew up playing with bird's nest. And have you seen this little bird? No feather yet and could barely hold their head. They're defenseless. They couldn't do anything for themselves, and all they do is squawk. And once they squawk, they open their mouth. And mother bird comes and give them food to their fill. Wow, what a beautiful picture of what Scripture is saying, that God is indeed our Jehovah Jireh. He is inviting us to bring our needs to him. Number four. The Scripture says we do not know what we really need. Romans 8:26 says this,
"In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express.
Have you ever had your prayer? Have you been praying for something and for years you haven't received the answer to it? I mean, you keep praying and praying and praying and it seems like nothing is happening. As a matter of fact, every week we receive prayer requests from you, and some of you have written same prayer requests for the past 3 and something years that I've been here in this church. I could just imagine what it's like to be at your home during your prayer time. Lord, here am I again. You've heard my song. And just sometimes just don't know how to pray effectively anymore. All the verses that you have memorized about God answering your prayer, all of a sudden you start feeling discouraged. You start doubting or maybe having some second thoughts about prayer. Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray. And just gonna say, Lord, you know what I mean. Have you been there? Maybe some of you are right there today. Especially in this kind of environment that we have, you've been praying that God will give you a job, and you had just certain resource at your disposal, and then all of a sudden you are seeing it already dwindling down almost to nothing, and still the answer is not there. The Lord knows that we are going to be flustered. The Lord knows that we are going to be discouraged, that we could not even really say what it's really going on in our heart. That's why He gave us the Spirit of God. He gave us the Holy Spirit to intercede for us, to pray for us, not only for us, but also for someone else. And then 5, God knows what we need before we even ask Him. Matthew 6:8, it clearly says,
do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him.
The Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And I like this because sometimes we become discouraged in praying because we seems like, well, I don't really know how to pray. I don't have the fancy words to say to God how to pray. Let me tell you, God don't need your fancy words. God doesn't need your really grammatically correct prayers, or you have your Heavenly Father. He doesn't need that. He doesn't need that. He doesn't need our pretentious way of approaching Him. What He wants is just us ourselves, as real as we are. We need to come to God. We need to come to God because He knows exactly what we need before we even approach Him. But that brings us to the question that we have a while ago. If God is sovereign, so why pray? So if all of these things are true, if God knows in advance what my needs are, if God knows everything that happens past, present, and future, and if He wants to provide for me, and He's asking me to pray and bring my needs to Him, then all of these points just begs us to ask the question, if He is all that, why do we need to pray? So why do we need to pray? Well, first thing, when we ask that question, why do we need to pray, is we assume that prayer is a way of informing God, don't we? You know, is it not? There's some teaching out there that the reason why your prayers are not answered by God is because you were not specific. You were too vague about the prayers that you have lifted to God. And the fact is, prayer is not a way of informing God. As a matter of fact, God knows everything. Look at 147 of Psalms, verse 4. Here's what it says.
He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name.
Think for a moment. God knows every single star in the galaxy and knows them by name. Scientists don't know them by name. But you know, the scripture says not only that he knows the star, he knows everything about us. He knows the number of the sand in the ocean. He knows the number of hair. Some of us don't have that. You know? It's a lot easier counting, but but the reality is simply saying that there's nothing that takes place, that's taking place in our life, that God doesn't know. He knows when you're sad. He knows when you're having trouble with your daughter. He knows that you are frustrated with your son. He knows that you're having trouble with your relationship. Nothing surprises God. That's why I love what it says in Psalms 139, verse 1 through 4. Here's what it says.
O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord.
You know, I find that very liberating in my prayer life, because I don't have to wonder if I missed something. And God is not going to answer it. You know, one of the best prayers that I've ever had are during the most challenging moments in our life, in my life. I remember when in the 90s, I was getting ready to be separated from the military. And so my wife, pregnant at that time, was about to deliver with our son Ray and Joy, who just celebrated 21 yesterday. And I'm just so proud of her, and I know that the Lord's going to use her in so many mighty things. But I remember sitting at our apartment in Washington State, and my wife was in Kentucky taking care of them, and all of a sudden I received this frantic phone call. Oh, honey, oh, slow down. Tell me what's going on. Joy. I said, what's going on with Joy? So Joy is throwing up blood. She got pneumonia, and we've taken her to the doctor, and then the doctor sent us back home, and then she keeps throwing up, and my mind is just having this grim picture of what's going on. And let me tell you, it was so difficult to be in that living room holding that phone, not knowing what's going on. And you know my prayer was? It was a beautiful prayer. You could write it and publish it. Not. And all I could say was, God, I don't know. There was no intelligible words that came out of my mouth. Maybe my landlord was thinking I was speaking in tongues. But you see, God knows exactly what the desire of my heart, and here it is, my daughter's 21 years old. And the future is bright. And you see, that's one thing that we need to understand, that we don't inform God. God knows who you are, and what he's wanting to do is simply for us to call upon him and search his heart. When we were in Indonesia, we went to this beautiful place, virgin place. I mean, it was an island. In the middle of the island is this lagoon. Man, when we got there, it's beautiful. I mean, I can't describe to you how beautiful this place is. But as soon as we got to the water, and my daughter was all of a sudden crying, and all of a sudden laying down on the ground, and all of a sudden we see her legs start swelling up. My eldest daughter, Krista, and all of a sudden she started convulsing. Let me tell you, we prayed, we did laying hands and all of that, and she didn't get up. My wife took all the medicine that she could think of in her purse, not thinking, and just kept giving. The prayers that was rational to us, we already prayed. And so we asked the guy, he says, how do we get out of here? We need to get our daughter to the nearest hospital. He said, the minister said, the way you came in, is that's the way you came out. And it's a mile and a half of walk up and down. And let me tell you, I said, Father, I had this strength and adrenaline, put my lifeless body, of my daughter's lifeless body behind my back. And let me tell you, each step of the way for a mile and a half all the way to the side of that island, I was praying, Lord, 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 please, Lord, Lord, please. Maybe the monkey says, well, that's a cousin over there. Strange sound and strange noise. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying to you, I'm saying this, it is because prayer is not a way to inform God, but it is our way to call upon God. So if God is sovereign, why pray? See, we pray because we want to express our total dependence upon our Heavenly Father. Can you picture a father who's playing with her daughter and he sits there and daughter was playing with the puzzle and of course she's having a hard time putting it together and father just sits there and just looking, watching. And then all of a sudden, his little daughter looks up and says, Daddy, it's too hard. And so what does the father do? He gets off of his chair, gets down on the floor with daughter, and puts the puzzle pieces together. And that's exactly what God does to us. But sometimes the question comes to our mind, why did the father not help the daughter in the first place when he saw the daughter was having a hard time? Well, let me tell you the reason. One, you don't mess with your daughter when she thinks she can put it together. Have you tried to interrupt your daughter or your little boy? Somebody say, well, let me help you. No, it might. And so some of you have got little kids, you know what that's like. So first thing, he said, God doesn't just intervene, it's because we don't welcome it. We don't welcome it. Well, the second thing, that the reason why God does not intervene is because he is wanting us to ask for help. Because when we do so, we are recognizing, we are expressing our complete dependence upon him. You know, my dad came last Wednesday and it kind of was difficult for me to see that, you know, he once walked with, you know, a little bounce and now he walks with a cane and he looks a little older and you know, it's difficult. But then a couple days ago, they were having dinner at the house, and we sat on the porch, and he was sharing about the experience. He says, man, I was the most afraid in my life. And the man has been in the ministry for as long as I can remember. Has been through many battles, but he was so scared. He says he was so scared, he was scared of what the future is. As a matter of fact, I've shared it with you that he even said that it would be even better probably to die than to lose your eyesight. He was discouraged, and he said, well, he wanted to feed his soul, but he couldn't read. But then he got hold of the sermons that I sent him. He didn't want to hear them, but that time he was forced to listen to them. And he came across the sermon, Passion for God. And the text was found in Timothy, which says, fan the flame. Or now someone will rekindle the flame. Said as he was closing his eyes and just wondering and said, well, what does that mean to me? And all of a sudden God reminded him of a scripture that God did not give him the spirit of fear, but of boldness, of hope. And here comes the revelation that comes and simply saying, well, that's in you. And the reason you're feeling the way you're feeling today, it is because you need to flame it. You need to fan it. Because it is already in you. See, we pray because we express our dependence upon God. If God is sovereign, so why pray? Well, we pray because when we pray, God is honored in our persistent faith. Do you remember the story of that lady that went to the unjust judge? This is found in the book of Luke, 18, verse 1 to 8. It says, the unjust God hears this lady keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And the unjust judge says, no, go home. They don't want to pay attention to this lady, but she was persistent. I mean, I could just picture her, I mean, banging on the door. Look up the address of the judge. And so as the consequence, we can see the unjust judge said, well, to get this woman out of my hair, I'm just going to go ahead and take care of what she needs so that she could go on. But here's how Jesus applies this story to our Heavenly Father. He said in verse 7 and 8, says this.
And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on this earth?
Jesus is not saying that he is like that unjust judge. But what he's simply saying is that if an unjust judge would listen to the cry of someone who is in desperate need, how much more for our Heavenly Father listening to the persistent cry of his children. See, when we cry to God, it's not because God needs our prayer. Because when we cry to God, it is when we recognize our dependency upon Him. You know, the problem of prayer sometimes is that God, well, the first one is not really a problem. You pray, and then God says, yes. And man, we are so proud. Listen, boy, God is good. I mean, we have testimonies after testimonies after testimonies about how good God is. As a matter of fact, this week I visited a family that just started coming to our church, and he's going to go through a quadruple bypass. And he says, Pastor, he says, before I was away from God, you know, before I started coming back to church and worshiping God, he says, the doctors don't know what's wrong with me. I ask them and they send me home. I come to the hospital and they send me home. I said, but when I started going back to church and really worshiping God, and said, all of a sudden God sends a doctor by coincidence. I said, it's not coincidence. God sent it. You know? And he says, and now they know exactly what's wrong and now they're going to fix me. I could tell that there's so many prayers that have been answered quickly, and those are moments that we need to cherish and always remember, because God indeed answered prayer. But sometimes God says what? No. And it's difficult. We go, why not? But you know, for some reason, getting an answer from God saying no, it's a lot easier than he's saying wait. When I came to America, man, I thought the Lord is going to give me a wonderful big ministry. Because in the Philippines, I was the youngest pastor in our town and was pastoring the largest church in my city. Man. And so when God opened the way for me to come to America, I said, oh, he's ready to really make my territory even larger. Well, I came to America, and I end up becoming a prep cook at the hotel next to SeaWorld. And all day long, all I did was peel carrots and flipping chicken breast. Everything in my world color is orange. And I didn't want to eat any chicken whatsoever. You know, I remember those times that I rode on the bus system of Orlando. Can't go straight there, but we don't have a car. So I would go to downtown and then go over there, go to where I need to go. And I just cried and cried. I said, Lord, why did you send me here? Did I hear you wrong? And the wait was very long. But you see, someone said, prayer changes things. But one thing I've realized is that he doesn't really change much of the outside things, but the first thing that he really does change is me. Why pray? If God is sovereign, why pray? And the last point is this. We pray because he is God and we are not. Someone said that when we don't pray, we take the responsibility and assume that we could live life on our own. But prayer is our expression of total dependence upon God. God is calling us to pray. He's inviting us to pray. He's commanding us to pray. As a matter of fact, he begs us to pray. And why don't we do this? Just like what Andrew Bonner, a man that's known as a man of prayer, he says he has three rules in his life. He says not to speak to any man before speaking to Jesus. Not to do anything with his hands until he had been on his knees. And not to read the papers until he has read his Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what burdens, what things that you're carrying upon your shoulder. What God is calling is simply this. Regardless of your experience in the past, God is calling you to come to him in prayer. And as the music play, I would like to invite you, maybe individually or maybe as a family, as husband and wife, to come to the front and bring those burdens to God, because God is going to hear our prayer. So all heads are bowed. And as the music play, please come. Whatever it is that's be heavy in your heart this morning, come to the front. Bring it to the Lord. Perhaps as husband and wife, come to the front. You know, there's power in prayer.